pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts be wholly acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So there's a fairly modern country song. It was released within the last 10 years at least, maybe 8 to 10 years, that has the title of the song is the same as the main chorus line, which goes, "Life ain't fair and the world is mean." Now the context of the song itself is that the songwriter is trying to break into the recording world of country music. Even though he has a very traditional sound to his music, rather than the new sort of pop country that's played on the radios and sells well online, nor is his lyrical sound outlaw enough. So the record label has told him that even though he is talented, even though he's a pretty gifted musician, that your music simply won't sell. Your dream, your talent, really simply isn't worth enough money for us to invest in you. If you want to make it in Nashville, you must be either bubblegum pop country or hardened criminal outlaw country. Sincerity simply doesn't work anymore. Sincerity doesn't work anymore. So the song goes, and that's the way it goes. You ain't got to read between the lines. You just got to turn the page. That's the way it goes. Life ain't fair, and the world is mean. Even though none of us are Nashville recording artists, we realize that it's true. Life ain't fair, and the world is mean. We know that from our own life experiences. We know that from reading scripture as well. John the Baptist was born for a reason, a very specific reason, to prepare the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did that even from inside the womb of his mother, Elizabeth. John leapt for joy when a pregnant Mary entered the room, already preparing the way and proclaiming the goodness of Jesus. John the Baptist was the first prophet in the land of Israel from whom the Lord spoke in more than 400 years. There was 400 years of silence, no prophets at all, before John the Baptist. In Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3, it tells us, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he of who is spoken by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight.'" John was born with a very specific purpose on his life. And John preached. He preached repentance, preparation for Jesus, and baptism, as Drew told us this morning. The first prophet in more than 400 years recognized the need, recognized the calling on his life for the need. He knew his calling. He knew the Lord. And then, immediately upon seeing Jesus in some 30 years after the mothers had them in their wombs, immediately seeing Jesus by the Jordan River, John proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes one who ranks before me,' because he was before me." John simply knew. He had that great prophetic gift from God, and he answered the call. He lived the entirety of his life dedicated to preparing the way for the Savior to come into the world. And for his faithfulness, for his dedication to God, the world rewarded him with jail. False accusations, imprisonment, pain, suffering. Mark's gospel tells us, now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God. John followed the call of God, and the world threw him in jail for it. Life ain't fair, and the world is mean. Our gospel passage this morning is a fairly short passage. It's only 6 verses. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. An incredible amount takes place in those 6 short verses. It's barely a paragraph in your Bible. An incredible amount takes place. And there are 3 very sort of specific points that are made in this passage. John the Baptist was arrested. That's the first thing we read. John the Baptist was arrested. Second thing we read is that Jesus is beginning his public ministry. And the third thing that we read is that Jesus calls his first disciples. So 3 very specific, very important things in the life of the New Testament happen in these 6 short verses. And so naturally, I do believe that one may wonder why these 3 very important points are all made in such short sequence. And what even do these points have to do with one another? Well, John the Baptist is the connection point in all 3 of those topics, all 3 of those points. John the Baptist is the hinge point for all of them. That is not to say that John is more important than Jesus or the first disciples. That is not to say that at all. Though John is the connection to what happens in these 6 verses. John is simply the one who we can visualize to answer the questions that we may have about this passage. Again, John was called to proclaim repentance, to prepare the way for Jesus and to baptize. But it's that proclamation of repentance that is important here. John called people to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. John called people to repent. Repent, you brood of vipers, he says. Well, we know in our passage this morning, verse 15, the first words that Jesus spoke in his public ministry were words of repentance. After the way had been prepared, after John was arrested, were the words, repent and believe the gospel. Again, John was called to listen to and to follow God despite the danger that would come to him, just like Simon and Andrew, just like James and the other John, the disciples that were called today, the fishermen. John was called to listen to and to follow God despite the danger that would come. Again, the connection point is John the Baptist. All called to listen to follow God, despite anything that the world might do to them. And Scripture and history tells us that every one of the disciples of Jesus were martyred in one way or another. Some of them martyred like Jesus in crucifixion, others in other ways. But every one of them were martyred for their faith and belief in Jesus. I believe that every one of us are here today because we want to listen to and to follow Jesus. Does that mean that our fate will be the same as John the Baptist or the disciples of Jesus? No, it doesn't mean that. It could mean that. But it does mean that life will continue to be difficult, that there will be suffering and pain in the world, that bad things will happen to good people. There will be things that take place that we do not understand why. Diagnosis, a broken relationship. There's so many things that take place in this world that are hurtful, that are lost, that are broken. The world is full of sin, death, and destruction. But friends, Jesus is full of forgiveness, mercy, and salvation. So those words then, repent and believe the gospel, are just as vital for you and I today as they were for Simon and Andrew and James and John more than 200 years ago. Repent and believe the gospel. We need the gospel. But perhaps though, we do need to pause for a second and reflect on what does Jesus mean when he says the gospel here. Now we have the benefit of 2,000 years of theology. We have a complete Bible of Old and New Testament. We have the knowledge of everything that Jesus did, said, and accomplished. But when he spoke those words to the disciples that day, all of those things were not yet evident. They were to Jesus, but they weren't to everyone else. Jesus had not yet performed many great miracles. He had not yet taught thousands on a hillside. He had not yet been crucified for the sins of mankind. He had not yet resurrected from the grave bodily on the third day after that crucifixion. And he had not ascended into heaven to sit and rule and reign forever at the right hand of God. Those things had not taken place yet. Now, Jesus knew all of those things were to take place because, very briefly, that is the gospel. That Jesus came into the world to save sinners like you and me from our sin, from death, destruction, and chaos. That he died on the cross for our sins. That he was bodily resurrected on the third day, that he ascended into heaven to rule at God's right hand. That is essentially a very short version of the gospel. So when Jesus says, repent and believe the gospel, the fullness of the gospel had not yet been intellectually revealed. Though the fullness of the gospel was the one telling them these words. Those disciples, those first people who heard those glorious words from Jesus, they could tell that something was different. They had heard great teachers and rabbis, but something is different now. They could tell that what Jesus is speaking and what he is bringing into the world was not like anything that had ever taken place before. Jesus is telling them that now, it is now, the time is now fulfilled. The kingdom of God is here on earth, and it is here through me. Follow me. Bring along some friends. This new kingdom that Jesus brings in is very rightly upside down. It is an upside-down kingdom. Many people of the time thought that the long-awaited Messiah would come in power and might. like a great warrior king to overthrow the oppressive Roman Empire, to bring freedom to Israel, to set all things right for God's chosen people. Surely then, they would build this new kingdom with centurions and soldiers and weapons of battle. Surely not. Surely not. Not in God's upside down kingdom. Jesus didn't call great fighters. He didn't call warriors. He didn't call politicians or influential figures. He called fishermen. He called two fishermen. Two normal, everyday, poor fishermen. They were on their boats, fixing their own nets because they couldn't buy new ones. They had no influence. They had no power. They had no political persuasion. They were normal people. As completely normal as you and me. The upside down, backward kingdom becomes clearer and clearer, doesn't it? The first sign of this upside down kingdom is that John is arrested. John was arrested. He was eventually executed by the powers that be, by the influential ones, by the powerful people. We know that Jesus would follow along in the same way, wouldn't he? Falsely accused, arrested, brutally tortured and murdered by unjust, influential men with selfish, disobedient, cold hearts. Jesus says, "Follow me," even as he follows John the Baptist in the way of complete selflessness. The identity of the upside-down kingdom is new. The nature of the upside-down kingdom is new as well. Jesus doesn't demand that his disciples, that his followers, take up arms and storm the castles and knock down the gates. No. He tells them to repent. He tells them to repent, to make appeals to God for forgiveness. The time is now. The fulfillment of the kingdom is here. God is fulfilling everything that he has promised. So repent and believe the gospel. This invitation could not be less glamorous or less glorious. There's nothing influential, political, or powerful in asking for forgiveness or mercy. Beloved, we know, don't we? We know that the pathway of the gospel is the same pathway that leads to the cross. And by Jesus' sacrifice, and his sacrifice alone, it is glorious. It is glamorous. But in an upside-down way. Jesus' sacrifice is glorious. Dying to self and living to Christ is glorious. We are called, just like those early disciples, we are called to put aside selfishness, to put aside worldliness. We are called to come and die. We are called to suffer unjustly. We are called to endure through a difficult world and a difficult life. We are called. And the calling, friends, is a promise. It's a promise to forgiveness, mercy, and the never-ending grace of God. Indeed, I think we all know and agree, life ain't fair, and the world is mean. But the sincerity in Jesus' voice as he calls people to salvation through himself is palpable. We can feel those words when we read them coming off of the page and entering into our lives. Repent and believe the gospel. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is now. Sincerity of Jesus is there. So as we continue to try to follow Jesus, may we keep the main thing, know the gospel, know that it is good news despite anything that may happen, not fixate on the trouble, not fixate on the problems, or even on our comfort level. Rather, listen to the sincerity of Jesus' voice. Listen to his promises. Repent and believe the gospel. Amen.
Kingdom is simple as love. You welcome the children, you stop for the one. You want to see people the way Jesus does. Your kingdom is simple. Lord, teach it to us. Your kingdom is humble as death. His king is a savior who gave his last breath. So may we die daily, our pride lay to rest. His kingdom is humble and the broken hearts. Hallelujah, hallowed be your name. May we live and breathe your praise.
Kingdom is
is backwards, it flows in reverse. What you call a treasure, this world calls a curse. The small become greater, the last become first. Your kingdom is backwards, Lord, teach us to serve.